You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. I sincerely hope that you enjoyed the last few broadcasts this month on Mary, the Undoer of Knots. Mary, Undoer of Knots. Well, brothers and sisters, as I said before, it wasn't long that I had given broadcasts regarding Advent, and here we are. We have now gotten into the season of Lent. Put down the Christmas tree and up with the, getting those eggs all done and thinking about, family again, which is really great, you know, getting family together and hopefully at your household, maybe someone takes turns and maybe you all take turns, or maybe you might have a takeout or something instead. You never know, right? I mean, it's just so close this year. I can't believe it. So I have for you a Lenten prayer for transformation, a prayer. So I thought I would begin our broadcast with that first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Loving Father, I invite you into my life today and make myself available to you. Help me to become the best version of myself by seeking your will and by becoming a living example of your love in the world. Open my heart to the areas of my life that need to change in order for me to carry out the mission and experience the joy you have imagined for my life. Inspire me to live the Catholic faith in ways that are dynamic and engaging. Show me how best to get involved in the life of my parish. Make our community hungry for best practices and continuous learning. Give me courage when I'm afraid, hope when I am discouraged, and clarity in times of decision. Teach me to enjoy uncertainty and lead your church to become all you imagined it would be for the people of our times. Amen. Isn't that a lovely prayer, brothers and sisters? That was in our little Lenten schedule from church, actually. I cannot take credit for that. A beautiful prayer that Father Pavel had put in the Lenten schedule, and I kept it ever since. It's so beautiful. You know, a big fad in recent popular culture has centered on decluttering, right? When you think of spring, you think of that word spring cleaning, and you might purge a lot of the kids' clothes. Maybe they've outgrown them and give them, you know, to charity. Broken toys that were never, you know, just hanging in the basement and just sitting there. Time to get rid of stuff, right? So it is considered, you know, spring is always important and decluttering is good, you know. If you haven't used something, you haven't worn it at least, let's say, at least 3-4 seasons, then maybe you should toss it, right? But, you know, the knickknacks on your table or on the mantle, you know, maybe you have a whole bunch of them, and maybe you just love them and you're going to keep them, But there's also a point where you can let go of certain things. And this trend, I suspect, will pass, replaced by something else that's new and shiny and can sell books and television shows, right? Because there's lots of out there in terms of decluttering your home and purging your surroundings, right? That isn't useful or doesn't add to your life in a specific way. A Lenten cleanup, however, is timeless, a perennial opportunity to improve our lives so that they reflect the resurrection. We are meant to live our lives reorienting ourselves daily to God, but as post-fall people, that just doesn't happen. Sin weighs us down, trapping us on a treadmill of guilt and bad habits, ensuring that our progress is slow. Lent structure, timeline, and focus on the coming passion, however, can put us back on the path to repentance and renewal. When we live Lent, we become increasingly mindful that life is a journey with and toward the risen Christ. Our gratitude cannot help but grow. In entering into the suffering and the sacrifice at the heart of this season, our hearts again desire to clean up and declutter our lives of all the issues, the faults and the failings, the distractions that block our path to God. We have a renewed desire to change. Scripture allows us to feel the Galilean sun on our faces, hear the roar of the Palm Sunday crowds, and sense the heartache of those gathered at the foot of the cross. It offers an ideal gateway into the season of Lent. And so my goal is to create a kind of a long distance conversation, because you know what? We are all on this sacred journey together. So let's begin, right? So we've just had Ash Wednesday on the 22nd of this month. And, you know, there are three simple and sensible things to do as Lent begins. Just three. I didn't say, you know, many, just three. One, what do you think the first one is? Right, prayer. Find that quiet, private space where you can be alone with your thoughts and alone with God. It could be when you go for a walk, maybe while you're folding the laundry, when you're working on a hobby, or on a bus commute to and from work, or in that precious time after the kids are in bed and before you start making tomorrow's lunches. Taking time for yourself isn't being selfish. It's about making room in your life to nurture your relationship with our Lord. Number two, and not everybody can do this, which also includes myself being a diabetic, fast. Think about what you eat and drink, right? And why. Try to make healthy choices. And even though you've bought the potato chips that are lightly salted, they're still potato chips. And support local producers, okay? If you are able, take a short pause from consuming your favorite foods. Yeah, there go the chips. Take an objective look at your words and actions. Consider fasting. Are you ready? From criticism, right? Maybe put a little tape over the mouth and realize that, you know, ask the Lord to help you seal it so that you don't offer your opinion so easily. Because not everybody wants to hear it. not everybody wants to hear other people's opinions unless they ask for it. then that's different, right? So think about your, you know, a fast from being being inflexible, right? Thoughtful self-denial cleanses both the body and the spirit. And number three, give alms. With a generous spirit, share what you have with those who have less, and share often. Know that the acts of justice and compassion bless both the giver and the recipient. Three simple things: prayer, fasting and almsgiving. They stand the test of time because, you know what? They're pleasing to God and they are good for us as well. So, scientists tell us that embedded in each part of creation are infinitely particles from explosions of stars billions of years ago. We are quite literally made of stardust. In this way, each of us is connected to every part of the vast universe in both time and space. More importantly, we are united to the One who called these stars and their dust into being. It makes sense then that in Genesis, we see the breath of God transforming the dust of the earth into a living being, a being that reflects the very image of the Creator. And God doesn't stop at this one act of creation. Rather, God's Spirit continues to breathe into us throughout our lives so that our stardust-filled bodies become even more fully in this image of God. Our lives, this time between our origins in dust and our return to it, should be used to work with God, to bring forth more life, love, and beauty into the world. At the end of our lives, we will return to the earth in which we have our origin. Meeting God face to face, we will present an account of our lives. We await this encounter not with fear, but with hope, for we know that what God's love can do with the dust of our lives. Lent, my dear friends, is a time for us to stop and remember who we are meant to become, and how we have fallen short of this destiny. So, as we go through these Lenten reflections in this next few weeks, let's help us, all of us, to encounter God's word in a way that nurtures our appreciation of God's care for us, that comforts us in our affliction, and challenges us to hear the call to love more deeply. So, brothers and sisters, I really hope you take a serious, and as Blessed Mother said, when she was visited by the angel on the Annunciation, she didn't question, she just took the words and pondered them. And that's what I'm asking you to do today, is ponder what I'm asking you and telling you about Lent. Why put off till tomorrow what you can put off next week? That's an old joke, right? Most of us can relate to that. But the Lord wants us to act now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we're called to return to the Lord with all our heart. So is there someone that you need to be reconciled with? Let us reconcile today. Is there something in our hearts that needs to be purified? Do we need to stop doing something that keeps us from God? Let us begin fasting from that today. Do we long for a deeper connection to the source of our goodness? Well, let's engage in prayer today. Is there someone in our life who is in need? Let us offer alms to our neighbor today. So, compassionate God, help me to see each day as a time to begin anew, to become the person of love that you have created me to be. That's beautiful, right, brothers and sisters? Yeah, absolutely. So, brothers and sisters, at first blush, it might appear that our practice of wearing ashes on our forehead is in contravention of Jesus' instruction to conduct our, our pious activities in secret. But that would miss the point of what Jesus is really trying to teach us. And it applies to the ashes we received as much as to the almsgiving, the prayer and the fasting that Jesus mentions in the gospel. In Book of Joel, chapter 2. If these practices are not rooted in a deep interior disposition of humility, repentance, and the desire for conversion, then they are empty and they're meaningless. Indeed, what Jesus asks of us is just what Joel tells the people of Israel: rend your hearts, not your clothing. Jesus wants us to open our soul to the healing gift of God's mercy and to allow ourselves to be invaded by the love that he shares with us, that reconciles us to the Father. If we are able to cultivate, by the help of God's grace, this humble openness to God's love, then the ashes on our forehead become a genuine expression of our sincere desire to be at peace with God, and when accompanied by a smile, manifest to the world the powerful grace of salvation won by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And that beautiful scripture, and I will just, I'm not going to read it, but again, it's in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Okay? So, you know, brothers and sisters, when the Creator breathed life into dust and made humanity, it was not just simply for us to be air-filled animals, but to reflect the image of God. Scripture tells us that we very quickly began to make choices that would keep us from realizing this destiny. But God doesn't give up on us, ever with us, always forgiving us, guiding us, and calling us back. God gives us commandments. These are not to restrict or confine us, but to liberate us. The commands of God are like the rule book for living life to the fullest. They guide us to care for others. They don't lie and cheat or harm others, because acting in this way kills life, not only for others, but for ourselves. Living for others, indeed, paradoxically, giving up our lives for others is the way to achieve the fullness of life that God intends for us. You know, brothers and sisters, the prayer I offered to you at the beginning, at the onset of this broadcast, was of transformation. You know, it's a wonderful opportunity. You know, many people say, okay, you know, my New Year's resolution will be, you know, whatever. And in no time at all, it fizzles. Mind you, it doesn't have to fizzle. If you are brought it to prayer, if you brought it during your prayer time and ask the Lord to help you with it, believe when I say that the Lord is helping you with it if you ask in prayer, and in a nice, reverent, calm, and loving manner. When you ask, when you approach the throne of God, you have to humble yourself, show your humility, and offer up thanks to God. Thank you for your life, for maybe the challenges you've had, but somehow you managed to get through them, brothers and sisters. You know, offer it up. But this is a season of transformation. That's the bottom line. It's a time to really take an account of ourselves only, not to judge others, but to judge ourselves. How do we measure up? How do we stand up to God? You know, like, where are our shortfalls? We all know where they are. We all have them. I have them. We all have them, right? But to admit them and to bring them to the foot of the cross and ask the Lord for help, you will be helped. You will be strengthened, and you will have a stronger feeling of confidence that you can get through this ordeal. But you're not going to get through it alone. God didn't put us on this earth to be struggling on our own. God did not send his one and only Son to die on the cross, the most excruciating death ever, that no human being has suffered like that since and ever will, who took our sins, our horribleness, and he paid the price. All we do and all we have to do is follow him, be more like him. We know right from wrong. We know what's good for us and it's not good for us. Then we have to stop, and then we can't do it by ourselves. You know, willpower can only get you so far. But that's where God comes in. The power of prayer, and the power during this Lenten season, is the power of transformation. You can be a much holier person. You can be happier. You can be healthier. You can be much more at peace, even with yourself especially. Brothers and sisters, this is a glorious time. So let's make the most of it. You know, fasting, you know, in our church and in all churches, you know, they recommend fasting, but it can be fasting even for a diabetic. You might say, you know, I know you like to eat sweets, but if you can cut that half at least, or eliminate it for 6 weeks, good for you. Good for you. What are you doing to yourself? You're actually helping your body feel better, because you're pumping less sugar into it. So fasting is a wonderful practice which can help us grow in holiness. And like all spiritual practices, it's meant to lead us to a deeper love of God and neighbor. It shouldn't be never a replacement for love of neighbor, or worse, to cause us to look upon our neighbor with judgment. The real fast is to share our bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into our homes, right? If these acts of justice have no place in our lives, our fasting is not leading us to holiness. Fasting is also misguided if it keeps us from the fullness of life. God means for us to enjoy the blessings of creation. Fasting can help us appreciate these gifts, but fasting is not healthy if it is suffering simply for the sake of suffering. There is a time for fasting, and a time for bounty, and a time for celebration. So those of you maybe just might not eat meat on the Fridays. There's plenty of food out there that you can eat, right? Maybe make a donation to the food bank. I mean, now more than ever, the food bank demand has tripled in demand. Never mind doubled. It's gone beyond. And they're stretched to the limits as well. Maybe volunteer your time at the food bank or at a soup kitchen. Or maybe when you're in line in your drive-thru for coffee, and maybe you pay for the coffee from the driver behind you. You don't have to know someone, just the act of kindness. Just an act of kindness. What a surprise it would be, wouldn't it? What a beautiful blessing that is. That's good for your soul, you know. I really do believe, you know, there's that old saying, you reap what you sow, right? And if you're sowing good things, then I know that good things come back to you. But if you're always heading into the negativity, into the criticism, into being self-centered and selfishness, and you don't get things the way you want them, well, there's a reason for that. And, you know, so bring it to the Lord. And remember, whatever you do in your life, you're doing it for God. You're not doing it for your spouse. You know, as much as you say, well, I'm working for my kids. Well, yeah, you are. But God gave you those gifts. He gave you those children. Those are a gift from God, right? Every birth, as they say, is a miracle. It's a miracle. You were born. It was a miracle. So, brothers and sisters, let's take stock of what we have and how best we can share it with others, you know. You don't have to give thousands of dollars, you know. You just be realistic with yourself and say, you know, how could I, you know, what could I do? Maybe I could do something at church. Maybe I could help clean the church. Maybe I could put flyers in envelopes in the office, you know. You could offer it up, just phone the church office and say, you know what, I'd like to volunteer, whatever it is, even an hour once a week even. It's just such a fantastic thing to do, brothers and sisters. And you'll realize that after that 6 weeks of Lent, you'll say, wow, you know, this has been so much fun. It's been so good that you may go beyond that and just say, you know what? I really enjoy doing this, whether it's Lent or not. I enjoy helping. And what a gift. What a gift from the heart. So the Lord looks at that, brothers and sisters. He looks at our heart. He looks at why we do what we do, right? Is it for selfish reasons? Well, it's not going to get too far. That's the plain and simple, right? So brothers and sisters, you know, many of the religious leaders of Jesus' time criticized him for his association with tax collectors and sinners. But Jesus reminded them that he had not come to save the righteous, right? He came for sinners. That's you and I. We can easily fall prey to the temptation to call out, to criticize, or even condemn. But scripture reminds us of the dangers of pointing the finger and the slanderous tongue. If instead we spend our time sharing our food with the hungry and comforting the afflicted, we will reflect the light of Christ whom we follow. We are all sinners. None of us is living life as lovingly and compassionately as we ought. Mercifully, this is not cause for despair. In other words, don't worry about it, okay? I'm not, Nick, don't panic. For Christ is our physician, calling us to repentance and reminding us of the gift of life now and the life to come. So, divine physician, heal my heart of judgment and my soul of sin. Lead me to act with love and compassion so that others may see you in me. And that, my dear friends, is really where it's at. So I hope in the next few weeks, as you join me here on the Father's Quilt, though, as we talk about, you know, living a more transformed life and beginning with Lent, it won't be long. I can't believe it. But every day is a gift, brothers and sisters. So we don't have, I'm not complaining, oh, here it is again or something. No, no. I just can't believe how time flies when you want to slow it down, because I've retired and every day just is such a gift. And when you're busy working with young children, the time flies by, but you're always, well, I can hardly wait till it's the weekend. Well, I can, when is it Friday? Oh, when is it March break? You know, these kinds of things. Unfortunately, that's how I lived it, because I knew on the March break and in the weekend, I had time to spend with my family. Well, family is all grown up with family of their own. And here, my husband and I are here, and we just can't believe how quickly we changed the calendar, and all of a sudden, boom, it's a new month. And you think, how did that happen? How did we get, it just flies by. Anyways, make the most of this Lent with me, and I sincerely hope that you join me. And I encourage you to read scripture, maybe start off with Psalm 91. Maybe read the book of Luke. Maybe you can start off with the book of Luke. It's beautiful. So anyways, I look forward to being with you next time here on The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. God bless you. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single. Change a single